This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Hillary Spiritos is a certified pathfinding coach. She is an educator and founder of Bat Out of Hell, and it's a coaching consultancy platform helping young adults navigate modern life on their terms. Welcome to the show, Hillary.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's exciting to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Ever since I was young, I've known that I wanted to be this type of person for other people. I've always felt really drawn to being a guide, coach, mentor, advocate, pathfinder. There are many words for this. And it's felt, if you want to go on the little woo-woo side, it's felt like a calling. And it's something that was also feeding. I love this work. And I just I'm really passionate about helping young adults find and overcome their blocks, figure out what's next, and especially by looking inward rather than outward for the answers, and figure out what they're passionate about, what they're interested in, what makes them tick, realize what they're capable of, who they are really, and then help them create an actionable strategic plan so that they can bring their fullest, fiercest, most authentic selves to their lives moving forward. And they're are just like many reasons we can talk about why this cohort in particular, but like that's kind of the gist of it.
Well, I love it. I think that every young generation, every next generation, every generation has their own set of problems. And it strikes me that that group, the 20 somethings, the 30 somethings, been told for a long time that they're just kind of screwed. Like they took all these student loans out. They're not going to be able to buy, they're never going to be able to buy a house. And so whether any of that's true or not, that just strikes me that that's a lot of the messaging that's coming down and that's going to have an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that this generation is a generation that has been belittled for a long time. And I do think that that is the case with younger generations often. It is often, oh, that's not how we did it in back in my day, or kind of those thoughts. It's always the case. But I think that this generation in particular is dealing with a lot of structures that are broken in today's society, and they are tasked with finding a footing in a world that is constantly shifting under their feet. And so I do think that this generation, this cohort of people, these 20s, 30-year-olds, are dealing with something that is particularly unique and different from what previous younger generations have had to deal with.
Yeah. So it's not a confusing thing that it's not necessarily a straight path and it's not obvious what my next most logical step should be, because to your point, there are all these broken structures.
Absolutely. So I think some things that there are a lot of myths about paths. And one of the myths is that once you make a decision, it's going to be a straight path. And once you're on the right path, it's going to be easy. And I think that one thing we really want to understand is that paths are winding. There are still going to be obstacles. And especially that if your path is clear, then you're probably walking someone else's. And if you're walking your own path, then there's going to be brush and stones and twists and turns and forks in the road and all these things. And it's going to be challenging, and it's going to ask you to ask questions of yourself. And that can be challenging because maybe you've never asked those questions of yourself before. Maybe you've never looked inward really in that way before. Maybe you don't really know the answers yet. Or maybe you know the answer, but you're afraid of what that means looking forward. There are all different ways this manifests, but it is helpful to have someone who is a near peer, who has gone through it, who understands the nuances of the world today, who understands what young people are dealing with today, that can help you not only navigate yourself through it, but like build and develop the tools so you can do that for yourself moving forward. And then also help you just build the self-confidence and resilience and self-reliance and to tolerate discomfort and all of these skills that I think are incredibly important and crucial into living your best life and creating the life you want to live.
Well, I think all that is awesome. I love it. I was in an airplane recently and you're looking down and I saw this river and it was just had these crazy meanders and it made me think, well, that's a metaphor for life right there, because it's never just a straight line. It's going to have twists and turns. So.
Sure. And it's really about, do you trust yourself? Do you know yourself enough to engage with that? Do you trust and know yourself to know that you're going to be okay no matter what happens? Do you know that like it's going to be okay because I'm going to make it okay? Or I've done something similar or gone out of my comfort zone or engaged with this before, and I know that I have the ability and the like sturdiness within myself to engage with life in this way. And I think that we don't often ask or encourage young adults to build that, because there are, whether it's social media, whether it's helicopter parenting, whether it's the COVID pandemic, whether the broken structures that we talked about previously, there are different things that have happened and that are currently happening that ask young adults to kind of stay within what's familiar and stay within what other people think they should or shouldn't be doing, and I think that, or stay within what's safe. And I think that can be really detrimental when you start engaging with the world.
Yeah, for sure. So we have these systems that have always told us that if you get an advanced degree, you're going to be able to get a good job and da 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 da. But that's not necessarily the case. And as technology advances and things change, that I don't think that will be the case. But it used to be that you would trust that that system would work, that if I do these things, this is the result that I'm going to get, even though none of it's guaranteed. But we could trust that. And that's what people told us. And so now we're in this different paradigm, a different rules, if there are any rules, and it's incumbent upon us to take a big step back and to say, okay, the course that I sort of thought might work for me or that I was told is going to work for me is not necessarily going to. And even if it did, it might not be the right one for me. So I do need to go inside. So how do I even start that process?
Yeah, there are so many things that you've talked about that are really relevant here. And I think one of the first things is that recognizing that there are no rules. There are really the rules that you create. The rules don't come from outside of you. And so that is something that's really critical to recognize. I think that's also, it's also critical to recognize that you're hearing so many things about how you should live your life, what you should be doing, whether it's from your parents or social media or teachers or coaches or whomever. And what we want to start building is that nobody knows what we should do with our lives better than we do. Nobody knows the answers of how, what will mean for us to, and how we will be able to build a sustainable life moving forward. That only comes from us. Like, and also no one else is going to have to live their life except for us, right? So what it starts out with is trying to unpack all of the stories that we've told ourselves from, or that we've learned consciously or unconsciously from childhood, about what is good enough, what is success, what is failure, what is acceptable for us to do, what will make us look like successful or okay in other people's eyes, or be palatable for other people. And it's unpacking that. And for me, what that means is cultivating and developing a relationship with your inner child and starting to listen to and realize, like, what are your fears, anxieties, and and insecurities, and how do those interact with your the circumstances of your life? And how do your fears, anxieties, and insecurities manifest in your adult life that stop you from creating and living the life that you imagine?
I hear a lot about inner child, and I think that it's correct. And people talk about it a lot, and we spend a lot of time thinking about it because that's where this patterning, that's where these beliefs are formed or when they were formed. So it's not like I'm trying to get in touch with myself when I was a little kid just for the sake of doing it. It's because that's why I act the way that I do, is because of what happened to me back then. Is that right?
Yeah. So as children, how we behave can have serious consequences on our physical and mental and emotional well-being. So we learn through unconscious and conscious messaging that if we behave a certain way, we'll receive love, safety, and security, and acceptance and approval. And since as children, we require love, safety, and security, and we want acceptance and approval, and we don't want what the opposite of embarrassment, rejection, shame, that we adapt and we amend and we shapeshift our behavior and personalities to engage with that, but it's not demonstrative of our full, whole, true selves. And then as we get older, we continue doing that and we want to become more palatable for others so that we don't engage with embarrassment, rejection, and shame. But in so doing that, we like mute and dull what our inner child is, and what I believe inner child is, and what's housed in your inner child is your zest for life, your creativity, your curiosity, your spark, your interest, what you're passionate about, all of these things. That's why there was like this TikTok or Instagram trend a while ago about like returning to who you were when you were 13. And that's why so many people are like, when you're thinking about what you're interested in, you're like, what did I like to do as a kid? You know, that's kind of where these things come into play. And so we do want to understand, oh, did I hear my father say once that only successful people are in business or something like that? And I really want to study art, but I can't rest. I don't know how to wrestle with those two things that I learned, or I had this deeply ingrained story of what success means. And that's what we're dealing with.
Which is obviously extremely powerful. So, so much good stuff there. And we have intuition, we have instincts, but you mentioned like muting or kind of dulling those, or just piling layers on top so we can't hear it anymore. And so why would I trust that voice that didn't necessarily, well, I don't know, it's tough. How do I want to be able to listen to it. I want to be able to identify it. I want to be able to live with that same zest and happiness that I had when I was a little kid. But now here I am, I'm 28 years old, and I've got a lease on the car, and I've got a shitty job that I hate. And what do I even do?
Yeah, I think something that's interesting is that to note is that the way to make us and build a sustainable life is to do something that, I mean, we can talk about what passion means. We can talk about all, like, there are a lot of buzzwords in this and like finding your purpose. But to live a sustainable, fulfilling life, there needs to be some kernel of that fulfillment, enjoyment, excitement. That doesn't negate that anxiety and stress and all of that exists. But you're working a job that you hate, that's not sustainable. And that's going to build resentment and frustration. And you're just going to be unhappy and unfulfilled and hopeless. And it depends on, and it is up to you of how long you want to live with that, how long you want to engage with that energy until you finally decide that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired and I want to make a change. Or you can say, I know what this looks like in the future and I don't want that. So if I don't want that, then I have to make some sort of shift to not get that. And that comes with practicing listening to that inner voice and inner child and gaining confidence through that. And in the way you gain confidence doing that is practicing, trying something, realizing you either enjoyed it, didn't enjoy it, but learned something, realized you could go out of your comfort zone and be successful, or or be just fine and you'll endure it and be okay. Just it's those, like, and little by little, you build these building blocks, really, these foundations of listening to your inner child, and that grows and grows and grows. And you also, what I do with my clients is helping them understand precedent. So a lot of times people don't understand the ways in which they've done that previously, or have written off the ways they've done that previously, and don't take the time to recognize, oh, wait, I did something that's like pretty, like, badass, pretty big deal. And I don't recognize that I actually have some of these skills in me already, these kernels, and I just need to like develop them a little bit more.
I appreciate that. You mentioned a near peer earlier. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I think that what I offer is this being in this unique in-between space that's not parents, friends, or a therapist. And I think that for, like, let's say parents, as well-meaning as they hopefully are, they don't relate to the world of today, and it is a different world. And so I think there is a disconnect when parents and their children of young adult age just like talk about getting a job, having like finding a partner, going through college. It is different. And I think that there is just conflict there, let alone the fact that sometimes parents don't ever like children don't want to listen to their parents, full stop. And then children, like friends, are not objective and they are going through it the same as you. And then sometimes you don't need a therapist. You don't have a mental health condition that needs to be diagnosed. You just need someone to bounce ideas off of, that to be in an empathetic, safe, secure, confidential, enjoyable space. I mean, it is fun to do this coaching work and to help people come out of their comfort zone and recognize what they're capable of. And so that's what I mean by near peer, as someone who can relate and understands that this world of today is challenging in unique ways. And I also engage with it on a daily basis.
Thank you. So it strikes me that certainly we have a lot to gain from doing this kind of work, like the life that we want. So that's an attractive thing. But that doesn't mean that I'm automatically just going to do it because I'm doing what I'm currently doing and there's patterns and habits that I've been following and maybe I'll just keep this kind of thing going. Is there a downside to doing this work that should dissuade people from doing it?
I don't think so. You're co absolutely correct in saying that just because you learn that you'd rather be doing something else for a living doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to start doing that off the bat. Or just because you realize that you and your partner are not seeing eye to eye doesn't mean you're going to get immediately a divorce. It doesn't work that way. And there are other circumstances at play that make you make the decisions that you make. But there is, I don't believe, any downside into becoming more familiar with who you are and what you want ideally and what you're capable of, and learning to listen to yourself more. I don't think there's any downside to that at all. And I also think in doing all of that, you become more emotionally resilient. You have gained the ability to stand alone, to tolerate discomfort, to tolerate risk-taking, to cultivate your own voice, resilience, adaptability, self-reliance, self-trust. And no matter what you end up doing, whether you work in whatever the most secure, and I put that in quotes because there's such a thing as security, really, to the least secure job or partnership or whatever, like, life is going to be life, and that's going to ask you to have these tools in your tool belt.
Yeah. So I go through this exercise, which is, that's a stupid way to kind of say it. I go through the work, which is getting to know myself and to better understanding myself. One of my favorite quotes is that the unexamined life is not worth living. And so therefore I need to examine my life. And so, because I only get one crack at this deal, so I might as well try and do this on my terms. And I figure out that I'm not doing what it is that I really want to be doing. And I want to be living on my terms, but I can't snap my fingers and all of a sudden have that life. How do you think about incrementally moving towards what it is that you want, or how do you talk to people about that?
Absolutely. And that's what the creating the plan is moving about moving forward, because I would never have a client and speak to a client and we come to a point in our discussion where they really want to make a change, and then I say, peace out, sorry, enjoy yourself. Like, this is the way. I would never, that's just not how this works. I would never do that. When I have a client, I'm with them as long as they need. And then we can always check up, and if they feel like they want to stop and then kind of progress down the road and they want to check in again, whatever, that's fine. But absolutely, we create an actionable strategic plan that is incrementally, how do we engage with the new steps you want to take in the world. So whether that means, oh, I really want to be a gardener, and you're like, oh, I can't just change my job, but I can engage in a community garden on the side and like engage in that way, or I can do an art project on the side, or I can have an internship, or I could go back to school, or I could potentially break up with my partner or ask this person out or change my major or go study abroad or whatever it might be. I hesitate to use this word, but there are perhaps safer, more incremental ways that you can make these changes, or whether that's even, I'm going to start journaling and I'm going to start listening to myself more, and I'm going to start telling my truth and raising my hand in class, or I'm going to reach out to people I want to talk to, or whether it's, or I'm going to dance on that stage, or whatever that your thing might be. There are ways to engage with that until you become either more comfortable enough or have enough foundation to like completely quit your job and start something new.
That's a big part of it. I know is I don't want discomfort, especially if I'm not accustomed to dealing with discomfort. You talked earlier about if the path that you're on is just super easy, then it's probably somebody else's path. And it's not obvious to me that we human beings are comfortable being uncomfortable, but I know it to be the only way that I've really derived value and gotten the things that I've wanted. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden, if I'm not used to being uncomfortable, then I'm going to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So we just need to do these small things that you talked about and build that muscle.
Yeah, I do think that the discomfort with being uncomfortable is maybe one of the biggest things that is halting or stunting the growth that human beings engage with. And I also think that is something that is prevalent with this young adult age group, this idea of not wanting to be uncomfortable. And that is, as you say, that is how you learn, that is how you grow, that is how you develop, that is how you figure things out. And that is something that whether you engage with and you make the first move, or life comes at you and you lose your home, your partner breaks up with you, like whatever, you're gonna engage with it. So let's build those tools. Let's build the foundation so that when something happens, you feel like you have the capability and the wherewithal and the trust in yourself that you're gonna weather the storm.
Like, we make plans and then all of a sudden, you know, COVID happens, a wildfire happens, whatever. I get sick. There's a million different things. So becoming comfortable, being uncomfortable, that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, Hillary, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Absolutely. So my website is Hillary, Hillary, at batoutahell.net, which is BATOUTTAHELL. And then my Instagram and TikTok are bat.outa_hell. And all of those ways via email or via my website or Instagram or TikTok DMing me are great ways to get in touch and schedule either an appointment, like a meeting, or a consultation call to just feel it out.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Hillary your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to batoutahell.net.
Thank you.
And shoot Hillary an email, hillary@badoutofhell.net, and find her on Instagram and TikTok as well. I will link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Hillary.
Thank you.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.